Good morning once again. My name is Shola Taiwo. I told you the last time I tried to tell somebody about my surname and she was writing it down and I was watching her write Taiwood. Today we are going to be talking about our own opportunity season. Opportunity season. Opportunity to receive of the Lord. The Lord said, I will dig around it and I will fertilize it. I will feed it so that I can give it another opportunity. So what's our opportunity season? What does it look like? And that's what we are going to be looking at in our discourse today. Last Sunday's message was really great. We are told about the authority of the church, the power of the church. When Jesus said, I will build my church, I will build my church, they called out people, and they shall have power to bind, to loose, to set free, to make disciples, to proclaim his name, to come into faith, to come into freedoms, freedoms that could only come from the cross into the kingdom of Jesus himself, the Messiah. And he has called out people, disciples, followers, Christians, who come to faith in Jesus. They shall both have the inner conviction. You know, like people say, religion is my private affair. But it's a bit more than that. The inner conviction also needs to have the outward expression, like fruit bearing. Jesus, John the Baptist says to the crowd and the elders, says, come, produce fruit that is in keeping, that is worthy of repentance. Luke 3:8. So the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus confirms the identity, the importance of bearing fruits by saying, by their fruits you will know them, a good tree will not bear bad fruits. It's so serious that unfruitful, barren trees are destroyed in Matthew 7. So the natural outcome, therefore, of a believer who carries the presence of Christ, who carries the feeling of his spirit, will then be to have the fruits to show for it. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John 15:8. I have a plant here next to me. This plant is precious because of the giver of the plant. By the way, I've been banned not to mention my wife today. So this plant started having unhealthy leaves. And I'm hoping that today, some of you in the congregation will help me out to put life back into this tree. The tree is not meant to produce fruit, so I just bought these pretend fruits to put next to it. Okay. So what could be wrong with this tree? I also have a few things I have brought with me, things that I could use to bring life back to the tree. I have, the first item I have is an Allen key. An Allen key, just, will it help my tree? No, okay, thank you. Then I have a weed killer. Oh no, so that will also not help my tree, so I put it back. Then I have, oh yes, slow-release plant food tablets. Would that help? Yeah, that would help. But I don't have anything else. My bag is empty. Is there anything else I can do to make my plants grow better? Okay, I've been watering it. I have some water here, but it's actually meant for my drinking. But I can also use it. It's very hot, so it probably will kill it. So not hot water. So what else can I do? Yeah, the light is actually an indoor plant, so I'm not sure it needs a lot of light. I actually place it on the windowsill, so it gets enough light, I think. What could also be wrong, or what could be good? Sorry? A bigger pot. Yeah, a bigger pot with some sand. Some compost, okay. So some compost, some fresh soil, and a good soil. So that's where my tree will come back, or my plants will come back to life. Thank you for all your support. I hope I'll come back next time to show you what has happened. So in the reading today, I'll be concentrating mainly on verses 6 to 9, as you can guess from this example. It's about unfruitful fig tree. But again, I like to turn it around to talk about the opportunity in that story. In kind of context, there was a long speech earlier than this in chapter 12, where Jesus went through a very long sermon, several challenging topics, some of them really, really harsh. And it involved faithfulness, the rich fool, warnings against the wrong type of fear, and worries, and watchfulness, knowing the times, knowing when judgment might come, and all of those things. But the next thing the people were bothered about was about the politics of Pilate, how Pilate was mixing the blood of people with this, and Jesus turned the story around as if it was actually not saying that's not important. But let me tell you something more important, and it's about you yourselves, something you can do something about, and that is for you to repent or perish. So in this parable, it teaches us four dimensions of grace. The first one is position, your location. The second is the pleading. The third is providing, and then period, a time of grace. When we look at position, this fig tree was already planted in the vineyard. It was already in a blessed place. The Bible said it had good soil. It had a bigger pot with proper soil in it. And yet, it was not producing fruit, even though it was in a good location. So the divine owner was not happy about it. So grace is a time, it's also a positioning. You position yourself, or God positions you, in a place of grace. But then comes the second dimension, pleading. The deserved punishment for this fig tree, in spite of getting all the graces around it and still not producing fruit, was for it to be cut down. Too long in this futile season. But the man, the vine dresser, or the gardener, or the carer, was pleading. Save this tree. Leave it for me, please, for a while. Because he is able, now and always, to save those who come to God through him, because he lives forever to plead with them with God. Or to plead with God for them. That was Hebrews 7, verse 25. The third P is providing. The man said, let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me infuse it with new life, giving it the best chance to revive and to start to bear fruits again. The fertilizers will enrich the soil around it. Even though the soil was already good, it will give it extra nutrients. It will give you special and specific plant feeding, particularly needed for the tree to blossom, to flourish, and to produce bigger and juicy fruits. This offer of special attention is another dimension of grace. It presents that power, it presents that parable way of looking at another chance. Grace is giving us another chance, and giving anyone who comes to this vineyard another chance, a new opportunity to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was barren without fruits, and now I'm full of fruits. Like Peter would say, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and special and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And in Psalm 1, we are also told that blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, and everything he does prosper. A young girl in early school age had a dialogue with his mother one evening. "Mom," she said, "I am not going back to school from tomorrow." And mom says, "But why? Why won't you?" The girl said, "On Monday, our teacher says 4 + 4 = 8. On Tuesday, she says 5 + 3 = 8. And today, she says 6 + 2 = also 8. I am not going back to school until the teacher makes up her mind." It is the end that matters most. It is the eight that matters most. What we do with grace along the way could be pluses of every kind and every shape. And it could even be minuses. It could be 10, minus 2, because of all the throes of this world that shake us. But it still means that we are going towards 8. It's about the 8. It's about where Jesus is leading us. It's about accepting the digging, some of which might be painful. The digging might affect some roots, but it's helping us to follow on, to keep going, whether we are in 5s or 3s or 4s or 5s or 6s. It is still going to 8. It is still going to full redemption in the cross and the kingdom. And the last or the fourth dimension of this opportunity season is period. Grace also has period. Time, they say, is the essence. The vine dresser requested for more time. "I know you have waited 3 years, long enough, probably ample time, to expect fruits, but none came. Prophets have waited for years for God's people, Israel and Judah, to bear fruits, as we see in Micah 7 and Isaiah 5. Leave this tree in my care for one more year," the man pleaded. A kind of grace period. This is both giving another chance and also a last chance. If no fruit, he says, then it stands the avoidable pronouncement of cut it down. What shall we do then in conclusion? We can see that some of that in Isaiah 55, giving us additional clues. Wherever God has positioned us, wherever God has positioned his believer, in this vineyard of grace, he's asking us to seek him, to call upon him, because he says, while he is near and while he may be found. So there is a time, there is a period that God may be found. There is a time when God will wake us up in the middle of the night and wants us to do something with that period, wants us to pray and seek his face, and he wants to commune with us at these special times. I pray that we do not miss those opportunity seasons, opportunity periods. He says, turn to God for mercy and acceptance, believing that God will freely pardon. I know repentance may sound like something people don't like, but I was listening to, I think, Nicky Gumbel one day trying to explain that repentance is actually a very beautiful word. It sounds like penthouse, like a penthouse in the top of a beautiful building. No wonder the Bible says that angels rejoice when they see one single sinner come into repentance. So repentance can be actually a very beautiful word. It also sounds like repainting. When you repaint a house, when you redecorate a house, when you rebirth a whole house, and then you go back into the house afterwards, and you see the big difference that it makes to the house, and the house becomes new again. So repentance can actually be a good word. Repentance can be a word that changes lives. A man called Lee Strobel was an atheist, and for many years, after he got married to the wife and has himself, they used to be like not caring about God. But somehow, through their neighbor's acquaintance, the wife became a Christian. And he tried his best to stop the wife. Look, you cannot believe in this thing. There is no proof in it. You are an intelligent, intellectual person. You have been investigating things for years and years. How could you just believe in this kind of thing? I hate to tell you the words he used. And then one day he decided in his heart to prove the wife wrong, to come back with this scientific basis why this Christianity cannot be believed. So he spent some years, he traveled all over the world, he went to the oldest libraries, he started looking for books and books and books to prove to the wife that you are believing in this thing that does not make any sense. So after some time, while he was studying, the Spirit of the Lord convinced him that in spite of all your PhDs and master's degrees, I will show you that this Jesus is not just real, it's also real in your heart. And that was when he himself got converted. And when he was telling the story, he told the story around what happens to someone who has truly repented, the kind of fruits that come forward, that he used to have a very strained relationship with his daughter. And as soon as he got into, in all his travels, as soon as he got converted and he came back to the house, the girl that used to run away into her room when he just hears that dad is around, just immediately came around to hug him as if something different has happened. He had not even opened his mouth. God was already working in the heart of the girl, the little girl, as he was converting him. And the relationship became better after that. Repentance is a nice, beautiful word. It's a transformative word. Remember the story of the two people that went to pray in the church, in the temple. And there was this man who was a Pharisee who was full of himself. I fast 10 times a day. I do X, Y, Z for you. I am not like that man at the back, that Republican. And the other man said, have mercy on me. He could not even raise his head. He could not even face up. And Jesus said, who do you think went home more justified? The man who asked for mercy. So repentance is actually a good word. And it's a word that helps us to bear fruit. The arithmetic of grace, therefore, could be different from person to person. Whether it's a 4 or 5 or 6 or 10, it is about receiving and believing. When we look at John chapter 1:12, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right, the power to become the children of God. So receive plus believe equals become. So the steps to fruit bearing, therefore, is repentance and to return. To receive and to believe, to study the word, to imbibe it, to allow it, to permit your body, yourself, your spirit, your heart, your words, the way you relate, to speak of who you believe, to seek the Lord, to receive His Spirit, and to continually be enriched and be fertilized in that grace. Will you come? Will you take the chance? Will you take this OS, this opportunity season, this operating system, the opportunity to bear fruits for God, fruits that are worthy of Him, fruits that are worthy of His eternal kingdom? Let us pray. Father, thank you because you are a God who gives us plenty of chances. And today, we believe you are giving us another chance. You are digging around us. You are digging your spirit. You are digging in your word. You are digging in yourself. You are digging in your blood. You are enriching. And you are only asking us to come, to seek you. At a time and a season, at an environment that does not prevent us from coming to you. Lord, we have come. Please help us to find a way, to find the process that will bring us to you in a way that bear fruits of grace, fruits worthy of those that fertilizers that you are putting in us today. And whatever in each heart listening to my voice right now, whatever in each heart that you would like to drop, that people might use to bear fruits for you, please, I pray that you go ahead and drop it, that people might hear you, that hearts will be open to you, that your name will be glorified in all things. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. There are a few postcards on the pews around you, very, very few of them. Maybe it's another way of bearing fruit. You might want to send a card to someone who might need a word of encouragement. And I'll just put that around the pews just to stimulate us into all kinds of ways God might want you to bear fruit. Thank you.